We are going to talk to Dr. Dana Varble right now. She is our exotic pet vet. How are you, Dr. Varble?
I'm good, Wendy. How are you today?
I'm doing really well. I mentioned you were going to be on, and someone texted so long ago who had a question for you, and I can't find it. So, oh, here it is. Look at that. All right. 847. Does the doctor have any advice for dealing with an older dog who is starting to lose her hearing? Everything medically checks out. Getting her attention outside is my concern. Would she be able to hear a dog whistle?
So it's always interesting when stuff like this pops up with an older pet. Sure, we could absolutely be dealing with hearing loss. And unfortunately, when we have hearing loss, it's hearing loss across the spectrum, which, as pointed out with the dog whistle, is wider than ours. So you could try, because hearing loss, even in people, is not consistent. Sometimes people lose hearing in only part of their hearing range. So you could try, but don't be surprised if it's going to take something else. So another suggestion I have is, I know it sounds really silly, but sometimes, you know, so much of dog's eyesight is associated with movement. So sometimes if you get like one of those little yard flags or the flags people put on the backs of bikes and kind of give it a wave, believe it or not, that will sometimes catch their attention on these old dogs that have really become really hard of hearing. And one last thing, do check with your vet and make sure you're not dealing with cognitive decline or basically doggy dementia. Also, can look just like hearing loss, and it's just they're just not getting it anymore. So double check that too.
What yeah. That is great advice though about the little flags. It's like it works for the bulls, you know. Allegedly, you the red thing, which bulls can't see red, aren't they colorblind?
Right. Yeah. It's not so much the red; it's that movement. Their eyes, especially you know, animals that are either predators or prey. So both bulls who are going to be more on the prey side and dogs and cats that are more on the predator side, are their eyesight is really meant. It's designed to pick up small movements better than ours. And even in low light. So even a dog with a little bit of vision loss will still see movement really well. So that can help. Yeah.
That is great advice. All right. Speaking of elderly dogs, I have a friend and a relative whose dogs are on the other side of 16. And they're smaller dogs, but you can tell they're slowing down and hearing is gone. And, you know, some have to wear belly bands or diapers. I have heard so many times and read so many times that when it comes to end of life for pets, owners sometimes keep them a little longer than should be because we don't want to let go. Is there truth to that?
There really is. And, you know, and I don't want anyone to feel that, because what happens is when you're around your pet every day, oftentimes those little, very gradual changes over time, you may not notice. And I always joke that this is one of the downfalls of the holidays. Everyone comes back to your house during the holidays, and someone will mention to you that your dog, all of a sudden, you know, Fido, Spot, or Fluffy was not like this last year. And you're like, and it's that realization. It's that clicking moment of, oh, my God. Yeah, last year, we didn't have this problem with urinary incontinence. And, oh, you know, we weren't limping. And actually, we had better dental, you know, we had better dental health, and all these little things start to, you know, again, we don't notice that 1 pound of weight loss, but somebody who hasn't been home for a year is going to tell you it's actually 10 pounds. So a lot of times around this time, we do get a little bit, we get our blinders on, and, you know, some of it's out of, we don't, you know, that's a tough time to face.
Oh, it's the hardest.
It's the worst. So, you know, sometimes pets that are older, one of the things I recommend is just print out, go to Google, print out a calendar just every day and put it on the fridge or put it someplace, you know, maybe by a food bowl and just put a positive or a minus, or maybe just write zero, like a neutral sign, and kind of grade each day. Because what can happen is if you have that visual and you're like, oh yeah, no, today was great, I'm going to put a plus. And tomorrow, it was just okay. You know, again, dog seems like he's okay, not having a great day, not a bad day, zero. But when you see that visual and all of a sudden the days that are bad start to add up, it is a visual reminder to us as owners, gosh, all of a sudden the negative days are starting to outweigh the positive days. And it can kind of trigger us to do two things. One, to have a real discussion with our family, is it time? Or to have a discussion with your vet, is there something else we should be doing to improve quality of life? Because there are a lot of options now, again, around arthritis medication or dementia care that we can do to kind of make things better. Now, I am not a magician.
Yeah.
I can't fix everything. But sometimes there are things we can do to kind of turn some of those negative days at least into neutral days and make end-of-life care a little bit easier on all of us.
And yeah. I have been in this position, too. And then I've heard myself say, well, Tiki's still eating. That means, you know, he's still enjoying life. But that's not necessarily true, is it?
You know, I think eating is one of those things, like, it can be a good indicator, but I have also seen dogs, birds, rabbits who had horrible medical conditions that I knew were fatal for them. And what are they doing at that moment? They're eating. They're gobbling down food. They love food. And the other thing I always remind people is, remember, dogs and cats are survivors. They're tough. If you've ever seen some feral dogs or cats, you're like, oh my God, one of them has three legs. That one's missing an ear. What's going on with the giant scar? They are very tough animals. They are made to survive things. They're made to be good predators, to be very resilient, very adaptable. So what that means is the little things aren't going to get to that. So sometimes that helps. When it comes to diseases, I mean, we can rely on that as veterinarians. Like, I know we can get Fluffy through this. We just got to, try a little harder. But it can also be a blind spot for all of us at end of life, too. Good question.
All right. Well, I didn't want to bum people out going into the weekend. It's a tough time. But we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to turn this around, all right? We're going to turn that smile or the frown upside down with Dr. Dana Varble. She's our exotic pet vet. If you have a question, 312-981-7200. Dr. Dana Varble is with us, exotic pet vet. And I just wanted to read this. 815, I wish I could give a virtual hug. I had my 35 and a half-year-old mare put to sleep yesterday. I wanted her to have the dignity of walking out of the barn on her own, eat grass in the sunshine, and lay down for the final time. It was the hardest thing I've ever done. So, very, very sorry.
Yeah. I think people forget how long horses live sometimes. 35 and a half years is so long to be attached to an animal. Wow. Absolutely amazing. I hope you have so many good memories of those 35 years that they just fill your heart right now.
Oh, that's beautiful. All right, let's go to puppies because puppies make us smile.
Yeah.
Except maybe not this one. 773, my daughter has a 10-month-old coonhound rescue with separation anxiety when they leave the house. He's not crated. He has eaten lots of rugs.
Oh, yes.
What to do? He's eaten comforters, too, by the way.
Oh, my gosh, the stories I could tell. So I actually had two coonhounds at one point. And for those of you that are not familiar with there are several coonhound breeds. These are hunting dogs. They are working. They are very active creatures. They can be wonderful pets, but they are used to spending a lot of time running, a lot of time outdoors. And I always say all hounds, their nose will lead them to trouble every single time. So coonhounds can be especially challenging, I find, because they're kind of the worst combination. It sounds so bad, but they're the worst combination of hunting dog and herding dog because they do spend a lot of time and they're really made to be active. So one thing I will say to these folks is, this is a dog that should probably, especially at 10 months of age, Think about activities that not only use our muscles and legs, you know, good long walks at least once a day, but up to three times a day, but also use their brains. So coonhounds were absolutely made for difficult puzzle toys. Forget the easy ones. You don't want those. You want the hard ones. Look, they will use their nose to find treats, toys, look for lick mats, things that are going to keep their brains occupied and going to keep your furniture and your household belongings safe. I will say that once they get through the puppy period, hounds can be wonderful pets, but they're very active when they're young, and we've got to keep those crazy hound brains super duper occupied. So good luck.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
This from 708. I'm late getting my dog into the vet for her yearly shots, including her rabies shot. Can I just bring her in, or is there a special process that needs to happen before that?
So, again, wonderful question. I'm so glad you're following up with vaccines. Usually, if you have an adult dog and you just miss them, even by like a month or two, we don't need to do anything special. Just make an appointment, get them updated. We're working with healthy adult immune systems, so we're probably good to go. I will add a little exception. If you have a very young puppy under 6 months of age, they really do need a series of vaccines that both prime their immune system, and then that second one or even a third one to really get it fully ready, fully prepared to fight those viruses and bacteria in the environment. But as long as you have an adult dog, I will tell you as a vet, I'm just happy to see you come back in. Let's get you back in the loop, back on the schedule, and we can go from there.
I just know that sometimes with Kona, I have forgotten to give his heartworm medication, so they need to do a heartworm test before I start him back on that. Nothing like that has to happen with rabies or anything?
You're right, yes. Now, that's a slightly different thing. I always say, like, really try and do your best with heartworm, and I am notorious for this. I have to remind myself every time at the beginning of the month that I have to give it. It's always a little bit hard to remember. If you miss by a couple days, if you'll notice, we don't change February or October. So, you know, the months are not an exact same number of days. So if you're, you know, running around on, you know, November 3rd as it comes up going, oh, my God, I forgot crisis, probably not. Now, if you miss by a week or more, give us a call. And depending on the time of year, we can talk about risk. Because the risk in June is not the same as the risk in December. So let's talk about those things and what we might have to do. But with rabies and other yearly vaccines, probably not much risk if we've waited just a short period of time.
Always great to talk to you.
You too, Wendy. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone.
You as well. She's Dr. Dana Varbal, and she is Chief Veterinary Officer for the North American Veterinary Community, our exotic pet vet.